the lights coming down, like the light is going to be in and out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We lift our eyes to the Lord, our God who created the heavens and the earth. We raise our voices in songs and speech, in prayer and praise. Lord, hear our prayers. Accept our praise. May our hearts open to receive God's blessings of peace.
Because that's what that church knew me as, because I grew up there. And so I spent the entire day introducing myself again as Claire Mother. So, of course, I was going to forget my own name. Good morning! A couple of announcements. Thanksgiving Eve Ecumenical Choir and Worship this week. We are hosting this year, which is so exciting. We will have the choir rehearsal at 6 p.m., and then at 7 p.m., we will get to listen to that beautiful choir. I've heard there are like 30 people in this choir, am I right? Yeah. So, huge choir. So come hear that beautiful, beautiful music, and hear Shadow, the intern at St. John's, preach, and all the rest of us participate. It'll be a wonderful time. We have a youth group fundraiser going on right now. I wanted to point it out because the deadline for that to order items is coming up fast on December 1st. So take a look at that. I have one of those pans and they're awesome, particularly for church events because then it actually gets back to me at the end of the event. It doesn't go home with somebody else by accident. And then the UMW annual Christmas gathering is coming up, and I hear that we're going to have some special guests. It'll be exciting. So please join us for that. I think those are all of my announcements. Are there any announcements I missed? No? Sounds good. Would you stand and sing me and join me in singing For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 92 in the red hymnal.
The world is filled with the glory of God, and we say,
thank you.
The hills and valleys are filled with color, and we say,
thank you.
Our tables are overflowing with food, and we say,
thank you.
Our life is filled with love of family and friends, and we say,
thank you.
We fill this house of God with our voices, saying,
thank you.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, as we enter into this service of thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray together.
Awesome God, you created the world and all that is in it. You bless each element of creation you are God. Be with us this day as we gather to worship. Clear our minds of all the distractions which draw us away from you. Open our hearts and spirits, and let your healing and empowering love flow in. Help us to find your goodness around us each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing the hymn Give Thanks, number 2036 in the black hymnal. We are going to sing it all the way through twice, but please ignore all the repeats.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special time.
So, what holiday is this week?
Thanksgiving, yeah, that's right. What is your favorite thing to do on Thanksgiving? Eat. Excellent choice. Anything in particular you like to eat? Salmon. That is a very untraditional Thanksgiving dish, but it sounds great. You're getting your holidays mixed up. Maybe you could have both. Anything else you like to eat? Turkey? Grandma's Jell-O? That sounds good. Is it special? Yes. Oh, I'll have to hear about it later. One of my favorite things is mashed potatoes, right? But one of the things that I love about Thanksgiving is that we get a chance to celebrate all of the things that we're thankful for. And today I picked a scripture from the book of Philippians that talks a little bit about being thankful. And the first lines of it are, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." I love that. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. And I have to admit, this is one of those scriptures that I learned when I was your age without knowing that I learned it. And when I got to seminary, I found it in the Bible, and I went, oh, because I learned a song. And so I thought maybe I could teach you guys the song, and I thought the congregation could help us. Because this is a song that's done in a round. So I will sing the first line, and you can. There's only two lines you have to learn, I promise. It's very easy. It's an incredibly easy song. So the first line goes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So we sing that twice. Let's try it.
"Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice."
So the second half is,
"Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice."
And we sing that twice.
"Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say
say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice.
Can we put it together? All right.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
All right, you ready for challenge round? Okay. Do two of you want to come on this side and join this half of the congregation? Okay. The other two will stay on that side. Challenge round. Okay. And people in the back, you're going to have to decide which side of the congregation you're on, which side you like better. We'll talk about that later. You're going to go with the choir? Yeah, that makes sense. Always go with the choir.
Do that every week.
So we will have, why don't we have the choir side of the congregation start it, okay? And then they will sing through the end of the first part, and then the second half of the congregation will sing. And I'll sing with you guys, okay? Choir,
times,
ready?
How many times do we sing?
Two. Ready, go.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Now you know that piece of scripture, right? You think you'll memorize it? Know it for the future? Maybe? Hopefully? I promise not to test you. Let's pray. Holy and loving God.
Holy and loving God.
Thank you for all the gifts you give us.
Thank you for all the gifts you give us.
Like salmon and turkey and friends and family.
Like salmon and turkey and friends and family.
Help us to rejoice in you always.
Help us to rejoice in you always.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys can go sit. Thank you for singing with me. And thank all of you for singing with me too.
Thank you.
turn the screen down now.
Yeah. I promise there won't be a lot of screen things involved. I needed another picture. You know what they say, a picture says 1,000 words. It's my job a lot easier. Perfect. Oh, wow, it's already up. Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the peace of God will be with you. This is the word of God. You pray with me. Holy and loving God, when we look around at your beautiful creation, we see your goodness everywhere we look. From trees with fall leaves to the smiles on each other's faces to the bounty of a Thanksgiving table, help us to rejoice in you always, that we may grow closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. We are going to talk a little bit about prayer today, but we're taking a little bit of a turn towards gratitude because it's Thanksgiving week. And what a wonderful time to talk about all the things that we're grateful for. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to fulfill a lifelong dream, and I traveled with my class to Norway. My college professor had lived in Norway many years before, and every other year he would bring a group of students back with him to visit his friends and learn about Norwegian culture, nature, and history. We would travel around, moving every 3 to 4 days to a new place and experiencing different parts of the Norwegian countryside. I can't tell you what drew me to the country of Norway, but there was something about the rugged fjords and the dazzling glaciers that had held my attention since long before my obsession with rocks began. On our first stop on our month-long travels, we went to a small island in the North Sea called Little Faroe. It took us several different ferries to get there, 5 to be exact. And on this island lived Ruar in a small cabin without running water or electricity. Ruar was interested in traditional methods of sailing and owned several different Viking ships. We spent the night sleeping in one of Ruar's traditional barns and the days learning to row, sail, and fish using traditional methods. Every day, Ruar's neighbor Gudrun would travel from her small island to our small island to cook for us and spend time with us. Gudrun was a 90-year-old Viking woman who has since passed away, but her calm, kind ways and traditional cooking endeared all of us to her quickly. On our first night on the island, my friend Astrea and I were helping Gudrun clean up the dishes after dinner. She didn't speak a lot of English, but as we were finishing, she said with a smile, "You're done. Go to the west side of the island." Astrea and I were confused since there were no buildings on the west side of the island. So she said again, "Go to the west side of the island. There will be an amazing sight."
So we put on our hiking boots and our rain pants and began hiking a mile or so across the small island covered in rocks and heather to the west side of the island. No sooner had we reached the west side than the sun began to go down and we beheld a sight like something out of a picture book. I am an amateur photographer at best with no special equipment, but I was able to capture a simple photograph of the amazing sunset we saw that night. Gudrun, in all her ancient wisdom, somehow knew, even when the sun was high in the sky, that it was going to set behind the islands at the edge of the North Sea, creating a sight unlike anything we had ever seen. A sunset like this would not be repeated a second time during our short stay on the island. Have you ever seen a sight that took your breath away? A sight that made you feel small in comparison to the vastness of the universe? A moment when you felt the very essence of wonder and majesty? When the ordinary suddenly became the extraordinary before your very eyes? Randy Posh was a computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon who in 2006 was diagnosed with terminal cancer. At the end of his life, he gave a now famous speech called The Last Lecture, Really Achieving Your Childhood Dreams. One of his last pieces of advice was this: never you lose the childlike wonder. Show gratitude. These two pieces of advice seem connected to me. When we feel wonder, when we're standing at the edge of the sea watching a beautiful sunset, or watching a soaring eagle above the trees, or holding our new grandchild's small hand for the first time, it is easy for us to feel gratitude. It is easy to feel thankful for all that God has given us and all that is good in the world. But even though it is easiest to feel gratitude when our souls are soaring high, perhaps it's more important for us to feel gratitude in the darkest moments of our lives. The moments when we doubt ourselves and the world seems gray and sad. Paul in the book of Philippians writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Philippi that the key to peace is rejoicing in the Lord. That even in the darkest moments of our life, we can find gratitude and pray to God with thanksgiving. And for that, we will be rewarded. While this might seem like an idle promise from an overly optimistic man, Paul wrote the letter to the church at Philippi during one of the darkest moments in his life. At the time that Paul composed this letter and these words, he was sitting in jail in Rome. He had been arrested for preaching the good news of Jesus' life and resurrection to the world. And it was clear to Paul and all who knew him that Paul's days were numbered, and very soon he would be executed for preaching his beliefs. Yet Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And if we rejoice in the Lord always and face life with gratitude, Paul tells us that as a reward we will receive peace. And not just any peace, but the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. The kind of peace that one feels when one is completely in sync with God and the world. This kind of peace is protective. It will guard our hearts and minds. It will help us feel safe in this ever-changing and difficult world, even sitting in prison awaiting death. The truth is that finding gratitude isn't something we should just practice when everything is going well in our lives. that we should temporarily focus on gratitude when everything is good, only to give it up when things get tough. Rather, practicing gratitude is a way of life. It's one of those deceptively simple-sounding concepts in the Bible. No matter what, face life with thankfulness is all we have to do. I think a lot of times we view gratitude as a transaction, something we give to God in exchange for blessings and the goodness God has given us, a quid pro quo give in exchange for our very lives. But I don't think gratitude should be viewed as a transaction, because the truth is that I don't think God needs our gratitude. God is stronger and bigger than needing our gratitude in order to offer blessings and grace. I think gratitude isn't something given out of a sense of obligation and debt. I think when it is, it falls short of the power and strength of true gratitude. Instead, when we capture that childlike wonder in our daily lives, when we have those moments when our souls fly and our breath catches, and all we can think is, wow, isn't that amazing? I think we open ourselves up to a new way of life. One where we can rejoice in the Lord always and find a peace that surpasses all understanding inside of the very world in and around us. When we find this kind of way of life, gratitude becomes more like a prayer. It becomes an intimate moment with a God where we both sigh, wow, at the joy of each other's existence. I learned recently that it takes 29 days to develop a new habit. And I would urge all of us to get into a habit of expressing gratitude to our friends and family and to God. I would urge us to get in the habit of viewing the goodness of the world with childlike wonder. And I brought with me today a couple of tools that I think might help us in developing our gratitude habit. The first one I've brought is a gratitude journal. This journal was given to me by my supervising pastor from my internship in seminary. And Pastor Dory Newcomer is a wise mentor in many ways. But one of them was that she knew that I might want an opportunity to turn back in God to gratitude every day. The way this particular journal works is that you write the year by each of these, and you line up on a day so that when you get done in 5 years, you can see what you've been thankful for on the same day of the year every day for 5 years. So there's 365 pages in here. You have a small box, so you can only write, you know, it's not an essay. You can only write a small sentence or phrase about something you're grateful for, and you do this every day for 5 years. And when you get done, you can see the way that gratitude has changed your life. What a way of becoming in the habit of practicing gratitude. The second that I have here is a gratitude jar. I found this one at Target. Who knew, right? In the dollar section, no less. But I'm sure that you can find something similar online or make your own. You can pull the little shapes out of the jar. And it has a prompt on it. This one says, my friend. And you read the prompt, and then you think of somebody that you're grateful for that falls under that prompt. So you could think of a friend that you're particularly grateful for. I'm always grateful for my friend Christina, for example. This exercise is one that might be particularly good to try with your family at, like, Thanksgiving. You could pull out a gratitude jar and have everybody pull out a little thing and write what it is, or tell everybody what or who they are grateful for. That has to do with that prompt. Or you can find one at Target. Good for all things. And finally today, I would like to give you a simple challenge. Today I'm going to give you a gratitude rock. It may look like an ordinary rock, but it's not. When you take this small pebble, I want you to place it in the pocket of your outdoor coat. You know, the one that you wear when it's really cold this winter, that we're now going to be wearing a lot between now and, like, June. That one. And every time you feel this rock in your pocket, I want you to think of a moment that God has comforted you in your life or been with you, and say a quick prayer of thanksgiving, something that you're thankful for. Maybe over the next 29 days, we can all get in the habit of remembering God's goodness. I find there are moments in my life when it is easy for me to feel grateful. Moments when I can feel childlike wonder as I stare at the glory and goodness of the world around me. I find that there are moments in my life when it's hard for me to feel grateful. Moments when it feels like everything is not right and the world is spiraling out of control. I'd be willing to bet you have those moments too. But the Apostle Paul tells us that while life is not easy, if we can find moments of gratitude and rejoice in the Lord always, we will receive a reward. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. Amen and amen. Will you please stand and sing with me, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," in the red hymnal number 140. And don't forget to get your rock. Sorry. At the end of the service, pick up a rock. Go.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In the United Methodist Church, one of the things I love best about who we are as a denomination is that we are a global connectional church. That means that there are 12.7 United Methodists worldwide who celebrate and join together in shared ministry. Today we have two different ways to support our shared ministries around the world. One, there's a little insert about what our apportionments are. In the bulletin, it talks a little bit more about that, and we're actually going to watch a video in a minute about one of the many places that our apportionments go to support. And then the second way is that it is United Methodist Student Day, and this goes to scholarships for students. I received several scholarships, I think, at different points from the larger United Methodist Church, and actually, it's a good thing to know, if you have United Methodist seniors or college students, they can receive scholarships from their local congregation, their conference, and the denomination simultaneously. So you can have up to three different groups that are United Methodist giving you scholarships simultaneously, which really helps out our college students. So this is a wonderful thing as well. So we're going to watch a little bit more about our Global Mission Fellows. These are young people in the United Methodist Church, ages 20 to 30, who are placed with different organizations in order to help support them. So, there we go. I can talk more. All right. So I did not end up doing this program, but I did the U.S. government version of it, which is AmeriCorps. They're very, very similar. So you go through an application process, and then you're placed with an organization. It helps young people gain really, really wonderful experiences. What I got to do during my time in AmeriCorps, which is very, very similar to this, was I got to work in two different school districts. I actually wrote an after-school program that's still in existence, which is an absolutely phenomenal life experience to have at age 20 and 21. And so that's what the young people get out of it. And then organizations get an extra set of hands, which we all know nonprofits always need. So it's wonderful that we're able to provide them with the support of an extra set of hands. Yay! So these are some young people who are working right now. Maybe something
new. So we've made it in. This is all the youth clothing. This is all the adult clothing.
You want to spice it up even more?
That's too big.
Something about this community has helped me redefine what community is for me.
Tasha's a lead sorter. Put a belt around it.
That's what I do.
So that's chicken, and then we have a vegan to the right of that. Last night, our group Food and Faith came together, and we made this. We are trying to identify and acknowledge food insecurity, and so here at Wesley, we always have a space open for you.
Rainwater actually falls into the gutters right out into the farm. This is a great example of how we are able to build a sustainable community model.
The U.S. food program provided the opportunity to really immerse myself in the United States, in a specific community, in a specific context.
We're able to connect and engage, and it's always a joy to kind of extend ourselves and be with one another.
It feels like a family. It's one that is complicated, but one that is honest and open.
We should not live in isolation, but rather a community and uplift one another and be there for one another in the good times, in the bad times, in the hardships.
Once you find your community here, it's not really one that you're going to want to walk away from.
This program has changed me and has affected me and has opened my eyes. And I know that this is going to lead me to something that I am excited for.
So those are our Global Mission Fellows. And we actually have a missionary in our conference right now who was sent to us, which is pretty cool. If you get a chance to meet Luis, he's a really nice guy. He's working with multicultural ministries here in Wisconsin and helping to plant more of those. So he got sent to Wisconsin from somewhere else. So you can also get a missionary in addition to send them, which is kind of cool. And we did. Would the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings? Fruit that we have received from God, let us freely give. Mm-hmm.
Let us pray together. There are no limits to the gifts you have given us, gracious Lord. Now we return thanks to you
for these gifts, and we bring these tokens to you, asking for your blessing on givers and gifts. Help these gifts and givers to be your witnesses throughout the world. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you might have this morning. We'll go with Barb first.
I'd like to ask a prayer for our church, for us to be able to pay our apportionments in full. This year we're a little behind, and we will catch up.
Mm-hmm. Prayer for our church that we're going to be able to support the wonderful ministries that go beyond this church through our apportionments. That money goes so many places. I was sharing this week, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to get to see 4 videos. This is the first of 4. And I could honestly probably do this on videos that are just on the internet, on YouTube alone, for the next 10 weeks. So getting it down to 4 was hard. So you're going to get to see 4, and we'll probably get to see more another time. But yes, it's amazing the power that we have in community with each other and all the wonderful places that it reaches around the world.
During the gun hunting season, let's think of all of our hunters that are out there, male and female, that they're all right, safe and home.
We pray for all of our hunters out there that they remain safe and warm and feel successful, whatever that may mean, when they arrive home. We pray for those who are in Djibouti. We pray for your son and people like him who are trying to make a difference in a hopelessly difficult situation. We pray particularly for those native Djiboutians who live there, but also for the refugees that have flooded their country. It's a sad, sad situation when this option is better than where they started with to begin with. So we pray that everyone would find hope in the midst of the hopelessness and that it would get better. I know Jeff and Marty have some birthdays in their family.
I do.
We do. Your son and your granddaughter, right?
My granddaughter is 10 on Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Our son's birthday is Wednesday.
So your son's birthday is on Wednesday, and your granddaughter turns 10 on Tuesday. 10 is a fun birthday. Double digits, right? All right. For a candle prayer today, I would like to pray for all of those who are traveling in the midst of this Thanksgiving season. It is wonderful to be able to share the joys of friends and family, but it causes us all to move a lot. By definition, when that happens, things tend to get a little dicey. So we pray that everybody would get to their destinations on time and safely, and would return safely back home, too. Will you take a moment to silently pray? Amazing and wondrous God, when we look around at all you have given us, we are overwhelmed by your goodness. Walk alongside us this Thanksgiving season, we pray, that we may see you in every smile, that we may hear you in every laugh, that we may know that you are present among us. We pray particularly today, though, Lord, for those who are having a hard time seeing your goodness, for those who do not feel blessings at this moment. We pray particularly for those who are in a situation where they do not have enough food to eat, who do not have a house to call home, for people who do not have family or friends to go visit. We pray that in the absence of these things, that they would somehow find you. We pray, Holy Lord, for those who will have an empty chair at their Thanksgiving table. We pray that they would know that they are never alone, that your community is ready to listen and be with them. We pray particularly for those who are experiencing health concerns. We pray that they would know that you are walking alongside of them. We pray that they would feel well enough, that they would be able to enjoy this time through the midst of pain and fear. We pray particularly for those with cancer. We pray that you would help guide their decisions. We pray that you would help heal them, that they may be with those that they love. And we pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or who are home confined. Help them to know this week, like every week, that they are never far from our hearts and our minds. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we go forth, may we experience childlike wonder, and may we see God present with us in a million ways this week. Amen. Thank you.